The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome back to another post-game show with your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter/X at Smith_MLB. My co-host for this one is going to be Jeremy Schilling. JTSchill20 is where you can find him on Twitter/X. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, check bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. The Boston Red Sox outscored your O's and swept them 15-7, winning three games by one run, including back-to-back 3-2 finishes behind the backs of Roman Anthony, Trevor Story, your bullpen. I mean, Aroldis Chapman. We could just keep going if you want. The Red Sox currently sit one game ahead of the Yankees, with the note that the Yankees still are not done with their game right now. If they do end up winning this one against Chicago, it'll still be half a game atop the wild card standing. So, quite a lot to unpack here. Jeremy, why don't you take us away with this game and this series overall? What did you think was just incredible? What are you worried about? Let's hear it.
So just this game?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, so for just this game, they were 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. It's a little nitpicky, but it's just been frustrating. And my concern today with the 1-for-5, if it wasn't happening in the last 2 weeks, these bases loaded situations, first and third, no outs, and we come away with nothing. And I'm not saying we got to be putting up a crooked number every time you're given the opportunity, but sack fly, hit into a double play, I don't care. Let's get those runs in so this isn't a 3-2 game. Other than that, I'm all positive. They find a way to win the game. Crochet, I thought, was okay. He put himself in some bad spots today. I think when they took the lead 2-1 the next half inning, he came in and almost hit a guy in the head. Luckily, the guy got his shoulder up and deflected it, but followed by an infield single and then, you know, base hit, run scores at second and third with no outs, and obviously he gets out of it, but he just kind of did a little bit to himself, you know, a couple walks. Obviously what sets him apart is instead of imploding, he keeps you in the game and we wind up winning it. So, you know, that's my take on the game. Obviously, Trevor Story continues to be in the mix with winning plays, whether it's a home run like he had today, having the wherewithal to gun the runner down at third in the ninth when, the Orioles lit off with a leadoff double. It just, he's a winning baseball player. And we were so frustrated with his injuries. He's really starting to show that when he's out there every day, he makes winning plays. It's really fun to watch. Just bigger picture briefly, they just keep winning games and they're winning them different ways. I mean, you know, yesterday was kind of interesting because I felt like he unnecessarily dove Rafaela at the ball that led to a double. why are you diving? His foot was still on the ground. That was my take. I'm not saying I'm like married to it. Just that was my take. And then him and Duran don't communicate on the ball that should have been caught in the warning track. But then this is the type of team that they don't dwell on it. They don't pout. He goes up and he hits a home run and wins the game. It's just that they're a winning team. They have largely avoided some of the reoccurring issues from earlier in the season and that we saw a little bit out of the All-Star break. And I don't know what the Blue Jays score is right now, but we were down. We're 2.5 out based on today's win, and the Blue Jays hadn't played yet. Guys, division's there. The division's there. If they keep playing like this, and it's within a game or so, we have the Blue Jays in a 3-game set to end the season. So I'm shifting my focus personally from let's get that first wild card to let's go win a division here. And that's where I'm at, Charlie.
Yeah, dude. So for me, there was so much to unpack against the O's in this series. I mean, everybody was concerned, annoyed, upset about the fact that we lost two against Baltimore. I'm like, all right, it's a 2-game set. Whatever. You're facing New York, and then you're facing Baltimore again. We're hoping to split against New York, and you're hoping to take 3 of 4 against the O's. You ended up taking 3 of 4 against the Yankees. You ended up sweeping Baltimore. And as the caption says, you've now won 7 of your last 8. We should be beating Baltimore. There's absolutely no excuse why you can't. As we were discussing and talking about earlier, the Red Sox outscored the O's 15-7. They averaged less than 2 runs a game. Your starting pitching, your bullpen should absolutely get the job done. Outside of Fitz in game one, your pen pitched 5 innings against a weak team, allowing 3 hits and struck out 7. You did what we needed you to do. Thank you. And we don't know what's going on with Fitz or how long that injury is going to be. I'm not even going to try to pretend to believe a timetable. Giolito in game two gives you 8 innings, strikes out 8, throws over 100 pitches, absolutely shoves. Bayo gives you 6+ in game three, and then your bullpen comes out 2 1/3 innings, strikes out 4, 3 of which were Chapman, and I'm going to get to him in a second. And then Crochet, not the best performance, right? Couple of earned runs, 6 innings, struck out 7. Bullpen looked a little bit shaky. And then you're saved by Trevor Story playing absolute elite defense. He also was a stud hitting a couple of home runs in the series. So there's a really good chance now he might be in that 25-100 range. He's definitely going to get 90 RBIs. He just keeps hitting the ball. And he's dominating against bad teams. What else do you want to know? Couple other notes. Boston scored all of their runs via home run in game one and in game three. 2 of the 3 runs in game four and then 2 of the 5 runs in game two. So you're talking about situational hitting. If we're not hitting home runs, we're just not scoring runs. So on paper, you scored 15 in a 4-game set. The issue is that only 4 runs came around, not via the home run. I want to talk about Chapman too for a second. This didn't get mentioned on the last show, and I think we need to talk about it. Chapman hasn't given up a hit in 11 appearances in the month of August. He gave up 4 hits last month, and 2 hits the month before that. He's given up one earned run in the last 3 months. This is like on another level good. It's unbelievable. This guy has given up 1 earned run in his last 29 innings. We're past good. We're past great. That's like goddamn near perfect. I mean, what we're seeing right now, this is the best closing performance I've seen since Chapman, Class A, before his stupid antics of, you know, gambling. There was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels at the time. I think it was the Angels, Los Angeles Angels. Brendan Donnelly had a 0.37 ERA. That's where Chapman's headed right now. Every single time he comes in, it's game over. He's striking out one guy, he's striking out two, and he's not blowing him away with 104. He's sometimes goosing you with like an 86 slider. It's an absolute thing of beauty. I admittedly so, as soon as we saw Mats give up the double, I was like, bring in your closer. I was PO'd, bring him in, you need to do it. It didn't end up happening, but dude, this is the best closer I think I've seen in my time. It's better than Kimbrel, who'd walk the park and then strike out 1 or 2 guys. I'm more scared of him than I was of Papelbon. I mean, Chapman stares in at the batter when he strikes you out because he knows you're not going to hit it. It's just like a thing of beauty, dude.
To me, this is the Yui Hara year where that splitter was just unhittable and he threw it like 90% of the time. And he just, it was, now he did it much differently. He was throwing like 87. but to me, this is more impressive. The stat that they keep updating is that he's gone like 41 plate appearances without giving up a hit. I mean, he's effectively closing in on two perfect games or two no hitters. To have it, and they're relying on him tremendously. It's not like he's only pitching twice a week. For him to have it every time he goes out has been unbelievable. It's a historic closer year as far as I can tell. And the other thing that two things that are by way of an explanation from my perspective. Number one, he is a tough competitor. It's actually three things. Number two, I don't think I've ever seen him throw strikes at this high of a rate. And number three, he's not just fastballs, which you alluded to. And he's getting swings on that slider, and they're bad swings because they got to cheat to get to the fastball. And then when they notice spin, they're just terrible check swing attempts, and he's making people look bad. He's pitching every single time out in low leverage situations, even though it's the ninth inning. It's so impressive to me what he's doing. And I don't, as long as they continue to manage him, he didn't close today. It wound up working out. I expect the same thing, a 1-2-3 inning every time he pitches. It's a wildly high standard, but that's what he's done.
Right.
He's unbelievable. And you get Slayton back, as the Sacred Circle just mentioned. So right. He didn't pitch today, but he's back. I know we're going to talk about tomorrow's matchup towards the end of the show, but you know, the back of the bullpen has been as good as I can remember.
Chapman has struck out the side six times this year. He has only allowed more than one hit once. And I mean, I get it. You're a closer. You're not expected to give up a lot of hits. But only one time you've given up two hits in how many appearances? I mean, that's just, those are dumb, dumb numbers. He gave up more than two earned runs in a month one time. He actually has allowed zero runs or less more times than he's given up more than two runs, which is just, it's just insane. I mean, what we're witnessing is, it's borderline stupid. And I mean, I'm speechless. Every single time he comes in, I'm like, turn the TV off. Game's over.
Yeah. Robert Hennessy points out that he's got a 1.04 ERA. Yeah. So if he goes another scoreless inning in his next outing, he's going to be a sub one ERA this late in the year. It's absurd.
It's hard. I mean, he's got six earned six times. Let's see. In order to have that, he's going to have to pitch another two and a third. Because one run at nine innings is one. He'll need two more innings. He'll get it. He'll be there in two innings. That's insane. So we talked about, actually collectively, show talked about Roman Anthony being someone you trust, Alex Bregman being someone you trust. I'm actually kind of confused. I'm shocked. I'm like shaking my head. Like, we're not trusting Trevor Story as someone that's, if he's not doing it with the bat, he's doing it with the glove. We don't get this game in the ninth inning if Trevor Story doesn't make the play he does in the ninth inning. You know, Carlson forgot who's playing short, starts running to third and on absolute bullet. He gets taken out when, is it Alex Jackson? I forget who it was for Baltimore. Is it their catcher? Hit it to short. Story throws him out at third base. If that runner's safe at third with one out, sac fly brings him in. We're tied 3-3. There's a chance we lose that game. But defensively, we're making the right decisions. Let the other teams make dumb mistakes. Like, we made one in the outfield where you have two center fielders, one playing left and one's playing center. And you could tell, like, oh, he's like, he's got it. No, he's got it. And they just kind of look at each other. The ball gets pegged underneath the, it's like underneath the fence. It just gets stuck there. You know, it was just a silly mistake. But truth be told, I mean, what other blips did we have? I mean, we're not getting, you know, I hate getting picked off at third base. That's infuriating to me. If you get caught stealing at first or caught stealing at second, it's not as unforgivable. If you're trying to steal second and you got a good jump, I understand. Getting picked off at third, inexcusable. So when that happened to David Hamilton, I was so annoyed. So annoyed because you only have one job. Like, no one's expecting you to hit home runs. And if you get picked off, that's just dumb. We can't have that. So, I mean, expectation against a really bad, bad team, you have to win a minimum of three. You ended up sweeping, and three of the games were one-run games. They were close. We used to lose those games. We used to lose the one-run games. At one point, we had the second most one-run losses. I think we were at 17 behind the Chicago White Sox, and they're just an abysmal team, just awful. And we were right there. And now it's happening the other way around. We're gonna get into the playoffs. I mean, that's it. We're going to exceed the 85, 86 number that a lot of people thought. After we won today, the Red Sox stand 75 and 60 with, 27 games to go. So really, this team could go, 13 and 14, and we're probably still going to be either a one or two seed team in the wild card. I know you want to get that division. That's going to be really, really hard. We're close, but we're not that close. And Toronto is still a really good team, although we are surging, they're not. I mean, what would you put as a percentage that the Red Sox will end up taking the division against the Toronto Blue Jays? Do you think there's like a 60% shot, 50% shot?
So first of all, we're on pace right now at a 556 winning percentage to win 90 games. No, I mean, Toronto's got the best record in the American League. Because they have one less loss than Detroit. But I put it at 15 to 20%. And if there's no reason to let off the gas. And like I said, if it's close and you get to that last series, you never know what's going to happen. They're just close enough. The problem is right now, it seems like, except for the Yankees losing to Boston, but they're all just winning. Like, New York's right there. They're not dropping off. Toronto keeps winning. So, I mean, some of it's going to be what you do. Some of it's going to be what they do. But I think it's certainly possible. And 15 to 20%, what would you have put that at a month ago? Zero? So, I mean, it's just a testament to their consistency. And they keep finding ways to win games where we can now have a discussion that if they're three games better than the Blue Jays over the last month of the season, they can win this division. It's possible. It's something to talk about. That's what my point was earlier anyways.
Yeah, and that's a fair point to bring up. So the Boston Red Sox now get to face Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, not great. But we're actually going to have a youngster pitching for us that is getting called up. Peyton Toll is getting the call. 22-year-old youngster from Stillwater, Oklahoma. He's got Tim Wakefield's number. He's going to be wearing the lauded 49. So I'm wondering how that conversation went. According to ESPN, he is wearing number 49, and I didn't think we were going to see somebody wear that for a very, very long time. But he's pitching against Paul Skeens. I don't have the greatest hope there, but if he's able to win against Paul Skeens in his very first game, that's going to be insane. That being said, I'm not crazy scared about the remaining schedule. I'm really not. I think you're right. I think there's a really good chance. 88 to 90 wins, there's a possibility there. There's also a three-game set towards the end of the year at Toronto. It's going to be really, really interesting. What sucks about it is that while you may be really close, half game, one game difference away from Toronto towards the end of the year, you close out the season against Detroit. That sucks. I don't want to face Detroit. One other thing, and I wanted to talk about this for a second too. Cade Povich, who's done a quality job this year, has been primarily throwing a four-seamer and a curve. Like, those have been his two pitches. 60% of the time, that's going to be the pitch you get. And they highlighted the fact that his changeup is a pitch in today's game. Players are not doing very well hitting it. They're hitting like a little over 100. And that's the pitch that Trevor Story ripped over the left field wall. Why is that important? One in 10 guys is actually making contact and actually doing something with a pitch, a changeup from Povich. I think at this point, if you're not putting Trevor Story at the front of your MVP conversation for the Boston Red Sox this year, you haven't been watching enough baseball. We are not where we are without him at the plate and in the field. I mean, yes, mistakes are going to happen, but the fact of the matter is he's been a consistent player all year long, and he's played over, this is his 133rd or 32nd game this year. He's playing almost every day. I mean, he's doing something he has not done in a very, very long time. I have to look at it because I don't know what his total games played in one season was before this year, as far as like a high is concerned. But this year, before, this is his either his 130, I think it's 132nd game. He's played 140 games only four times in his career. He'd never done it as a member of the Red Sox. So already, as soon as he hit 100, he's eclipsed that. So, I mean, at this point, dude, he's going to surpass probably 25 home runs, 90 RBIs easily. And this is going to be probably his best year since 2018. That's 7 years, 8 years, his fourth year in Boston. Finally, we're seeing the Trevor Story that we have so desperately needed to see. But I mean, to not put him in the category of someone that you trust, to me, it just, I don't know.
Who still doesn't trust him? Did somebody say something that lit you on fire a little bit?
We still have people that don't trust him, man. And it's at this point, it's disrespectful. People gotta wake up.
So here's how it comes down to me. Number one, I always looked at the character of the player. I mean, how easy would it have been to get frustrated, quit, you know, stop taking care of yourself? I mean, he has continued to push through and persevere through just bad luck after bad luck. And then he's finally playing a full year and he's also producing. So it's not just a good story that he stayed healthy. It's a good story that he's, you know, a leader of the team. The team kind of embodies his, you know, the journey he's gone through here. And he's doing it in every other way. I mean, home runs, a timely base hit down the line in that Yankees series. He's 23 of 23 stolen bases. He hit his 22nd home run today. You know, you mentioned the RBI numbers. He has solidified the up-the-middle defense. I mean, you can't say enough about him. I say this every time we talk about somebody with an injury history. I never root for injuries. If the name on the front of your jersey is the Red Sox, I'm going to root for you. He's obviously a likable guy. I've already mentioned he's a leader in the clubhouse. And I don't think that very many people could disagree with the fact that this team is where they are in the position they're in, to a large credit to Trevor Story. Now, you could put other people in that conversation, especially people that weren't on the roster last year. I put Bregman in that conversation. I put Chapman in that conversation. I put Crochet in that conversation. And then I'd also have the uptick getting Giolito back, but also the uptick in production from a guy like Bayo, who looks like a legit number two starter. So players, you know, the only person that's really regressed is Duran, and he's still a very good player.
Yeah,
guys have gotten healthy, stayed healthy, that have had injury histories for the most part. Guys have continued to get better. Abreu, you know, led the team in home runs and still does, even though he's on the IL right now. So, I mean, look, Whitlock, another guy, big time injury history, largely stayed healthy. He's lights out right now, you know, and he's pitching high leverage innings. So, you know, I mean, credit could probably go to the strength and conditioning nutrition program they got going on over there. I don't know. I don't think we want to do that deep of a dive, but look, it's all coming together. We got a month to go. Here's the sprint. We are in second place at 3.5 back, hold the first wild card, and we got a pretty soft schedule. So, I mean, I can't wait for the next month of baseball. I haven't been this excited about the Red Sox in it feels like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. People were talking about right after COVID with that team that went there, and I'm like, this isn't it. Like, this is not the team. But I mean, how can't you be excited? How can't you be thrilled? This is so far better than a lot of people thought, especially with the regression from certain people. Dude, you got two people in the runnings for Cy Young. One's a starter and one's your closer. At this point, if Garrett Crochet doesn't win it, are you really shocked with Tarik Skubal, whose team has actually done a little bit better? I'm not looking at his numbers right now, but I actually do want to see how much, you know, better he's done or how deeper he's gone. Honestly, I think it's going to be Crochet's, but what's nuts about this is that you've also got a closer who should be getting consideration. You got one starter in Detroit who's got 200 plus strikeouts and 160 plus innings. Then you got Kershaw, 160 innings, 200 plus strikeouts. He's got more wins. The ERA is almost the exact same. I think it's Kershaw's. And honestly, Tarik Skubal too, and your closer should be number three. I honestly think that he's going to be getting more votes than people imagine. This is completely off topic. This is coming from B Cookie. Schwarber hitting 4 home runs today and 9 RBIs. I don't know how many of them actually came against pitchers, but I've seen Carl Schwarber hit 3 home runs in a game. The guy does, it's half swing with just a smart swing. He's just a really, really good hitter. He also might hit 60 home runs this year. Might be the first time since, whatever, was it 97 or 98 when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa both hit 60 home runs? You might see one in the National League and one in the American League as opposed to two in the National League. It's absolutely bonkers. So, yeah, man, I mean, I'm content with where this team is headed. Do I think this is a playoff team? Yes. Do I think this is a team that could surprise and actually take the division? Yes. Do I think this team is better than Detroit? I struggle, because you'd have to have Kershaw and Tarik Skubal face each other 2 or 3 times in that series to really give me confidence. But even so, whose rotation do you trust more? And I don't know if you're as well acquainted with Detroit as obviously we are with Boston, but if you had to trust Kershaw, Bayo, Giolito, or Giolito, Bayo against Detroit's 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to give you their names right now because I'm actually not sure who their 2, 3. I think Flaherty's in there. So it's Tarik Skubal, Jack Flaherty, and Casey Mize. Who would you rather have, 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, I saw Mize pitch the other day. He got rocked.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
I'm going to tell you, I take Boston.
Well, so here's what I know. Tony Maserati on 98.5 the other day read off the stats for the last 14 starts, and that puts Kershaw, Bayo, and Giolito as the top three-man rotation in baseball. So, I mean, based on those numbers, based on what I'm seeing, based on Bayo's progression, Bayo's stuff is better than Giolito, in my opinion. So, right now, I trust Bayo more to get that second game. The other thing is when you infuse Romy and Refschneider, who hit another home run off another lefty today, like clockwork, that lineup is, you know, we've beaten some pretty good lefties. And so, look, Skubal's a maniac. I picked him in the preseason show to win the Cy Young Award. I think the lineup, you know, unless he's just completely on, I think they find a way to at least get it to the bullpen. And if you can get it to our bullpen right now, we got one of the top bullpens back end anyways. So I think it's a little early to preview a Tigers Red Sox ALCS. I would love to be there. The thing that I'm looking for out of the last month of the season is, one, health of the team, and two, continue to play winning type baseball. Meaning limit the mistakes we were making in the beginning of the year. Don't run into bad outs. You know, play good defense up the middle. And this team continues to pitch and hit, then, you know, I think you got a chance. No team is by far and away the clear-cut favorite like the Dodgers were in the NL last year.
Yeah, no, and I don't think the Dodgers are the clear-cut top team right now anymore either. There's too many injuries, yeah. And things aren't going well. I think the Padres have the best bullpen I've ever, like possibly the best bullpen I've seen in the last, I don't know how many years / decade. I mean, they're so stacked. It's absolutely insane. All their relievers have like a 1-point-something ERA, 1-point-something. And they struck out 14 guys in 8 innings in relief against the Red Sox. I'm like, are you bleeping kidding me? Like, what are we doing here? Anything else you want to add about this series?
I mean, they just keep on winning, man. It's fun to watch.
They absolutely do. So that being said, we're going to pivot over to this upcoming series. Obviously, we were kind of foreshadowing the fact that we got Peyton Toll pitching against Paul Skeens in the first game of this series. You got Dustin May going against, I believe it's Johan Oviedo in game 2. He's done very well. And then you got Lucas Giolito against Mitch Keller. So what do you have in your mind for this three-game set? Who do you have winning game one? Who do you have winning game two? And who do you have winning game three? We could do it one at a time.
I mean, I don't need to do it one at a time. I will highlight tomorrow's game. This is the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's the same Pittsburgh Pirates. Don't let Paul Skenes make you think anything different about the series as a whole. They should win this series. But it's going to be really tough tomorrow to win against Skenes. That's a tough spot to put a 22-year-old kid who was pitching in college a year or two ago or whatever it was, very short period of time ago. And for him to feel the pressure to be as close to perfect as possible against a top-end guy like this, I think it's a tough spot to put the kid in. I understand the counter to that is he's facing the lineup, not Skenes, and that part of it I get. Somebody dropped a stat in here. I don't have a reason not to trust it. They're the 29th team in OPS against lefties, something like that. Maybe it was batting average. So the lineup's not good. And while I get that, it's your first major league start. You're a young kid. And I know you're pitching against the lineup, but the thought is if I give up a two-run single here, we're not going to win this game. It's just a tough thing to go into. And maybe he's different. Maybe he's, you know, got Crochet's mindset. I don't know. I've seen him pitch only essentially in Twitter highlights. So I know he's highly touted. I know he's got good stuff. I know they're expecting a lot for him. I know that, some of the lack of trades at the deadline were a result of wanting to hold on to this player. I'm excited for a start tomorrow. I think it's going to be a tough game to win, but I do think they should still win the series.
It's going to be hard for me to actually, I think, counter that. The issue going up against one of the best pitchers in baseball, I mean, he's got the Jacob DeGrom effect in the sense that he's not getting run support. If I told you that Paul Skenes had a 2 ERA and he had a losing record, would you believe me?
Yes.
Yeah, because he's playing in Pittsburgh. If he's playing anywhere else, he's got 15 wins in the bag. So, I mean, that's the thing. So you got the Red Sox offense, which I do trust more than Pittsburgh. I think some of their players have absolutely just completely fallen. It's just busted stars, blown stars. It's just, it's not happening there. They've still got to wait for O'Neill Cruz. I think O'Neill is back. If he isn't, he'll be back soon. I haven't paid attention to him. But, I mean, I think you're winning two of these three games. I really think you're winning two. If you win the first game, there's a chance you can sweep. That's how much confidence I have in the Red Sox right now and how little confidence I have in Pittsburgh. They might skate by with one. They might win one game. But that's going to be game one. I mean, if they sneak a win against game, you know, two or three, and we lose that series, that's going to be tough. But, you know, I mean, crazier things have happened. Did anybody say or even think that the Red Sox are going to win seven of their last eight? No, I didn't think so. I thought we were going to split against New York. I was hoping to take 3-4 against Baltimore, you know, go 5-3. You went 7-1. So in theory, if you do go, you know, 1-2 or 2-1, whatever, you still done pretty good in you know, that three series set right there. So, I mean, the only direction we're going to continue going is up. I know we have a couple players that are coming back. I hope there are certain players that do not come back to this team for the remainder of the year. But, you know, dude, it's hard to be upset about what's going on. When your team is doing well, it's so interesting when you're critical. Things are going well. Ride the high, ride the wave, man.
Yeah, you're a good baseball team. You're a playoff team. The Pittsburgh is just simply not. You should win these series. I don't, you know, it's a major disappointment if they don't. And I don't care that Skenes is pitching in one of them. If you lose that game, you should win the other two.
Right. Anything else
Go
you want to
Sox.
Add? Very nice. That's going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1, while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.